Well, turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're of course in our study, we're looking at the whole aspect of being a disciple. And we started off with just the whole issue of being a disciple, the characteristics of a disciple, and then we talked about becoming one. What do we do? Romans 12, 1 and 2, offer our lives. How do we do it? Hebrews chapter 12, run that race with endurance, keeping focused on Christ laying aside anything that might slow us down. And then we looked at preparing ourselves and preparing others. We talked about preparing ourselves, and that was getting into the Word of God and then being an example and those kind of things. Now, this morning, we're going to look at preparing others. And if time permits, as it probably will, we're going to look at the whole idea of the challenge and what does it take. And let me tell you, and I know some of you are probably going to be gone next week because it being Labor Day, but we're going to probably in the next couple of weeks be getting into the whole issue of rewards. And I think one of the key things that we need to really realize is that when you stand before Jesus Christ, it has nothing to do with your salvation. Salvation is something that is given to you free. It is given to you as a gift by your faith in Jesus Christ. You trust Christ as Savior. He offers to you, He gives to you eternal life. But one day, every one of us who know Christ, we will stand before Him to be rewarded. And the Bible talks about to be judged for the things that we've done in this body, whether they're good. It says good or bad. It literally means good or worthless there. We'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks. And the bottom line is we're going to stand before Christ. And an account will be given on how we lived, how we used the time, the gifts, the talents, the abilities, this life that He gave to us. And that's going to happen. And so we'll think about that, especially when we get into the challenge. So there's a lot of things there. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You again for this morning. Thanks for this class. Lord, what a privilege it is to get to be in this class. And I thank You that You allow me to get to teach it. Thank You, Lord, for the ones who come on a consistent basis. And we're just so glad they're here. And Lord, so for so many of the college students who were gone for the summer, we thank You that You brought them back and they're here. Lord, we just ask You, as we think about being a disciple, as we think about not only preparing ourselves to be a disciple, but then preparing others, Lord, we want to do it. We want to make a difference. But we know that the things that we deal with are hard. The things that we deal with in this passage and in these studies cost us. It cost us our lives. Lord, we just want to be men and women whose life count for You. And we ask You, Lord, that You would help us as we look through these passages. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said a while ago, the cost for being a Christian is absolutely nothing. It's a gift. It cost God His Son. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. It cost Jesus Christ His life and being separated from the Father because He came and He offered Himself as a final sacrifice for sin forever. It was a cost. But for us, the whole offer of eternal life is a gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's not what you do. It is what? It's a gift. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. There are people who are confused, and they will tell you the things you have to do to be saved. To be saved, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You take the gift of eternal life, which comes by faith. But what we've been dealing with in this passage, in this study, is the whole idea of being a disciple. And we're talking about a disciple as one who loves Christ above all other relationships, lives by the Word of God, obeying it, loving others, and is faithful. It's a person who's offered their life as a living sacrifice. It's a person who's laid aside every weight, kept their focus on Christ, and run the race with endurance. It's a person who's prepared themselves by studying to show themselves to prove, digging the Word of God. It's a person who's made themselves an example in love and faith and purity and all of those things. It's a person who said, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. My prayer is this, and we talked about it last time, and when we get to the challenge, it'll be more. But the challenge to you, you who know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the challenge is, are you going to live for Him now? Are we going to make a difference for Him now? Because one day you will give an account. Now, He's not going to make you serve Him. But when you stand before Him, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or, 1 John 2, we will be ashamed at His coming. We're going to see this in the next couple of weeks as we look at the whole idea of rewards. But here's the thing we're on now. How to prepare others. If we're going to prepare ourselves, and we talked about that last time, what about preparing others? Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And of course, this is where we get, you keep hearing us talk about the 2-2, and it's starting, is coming up Tuesday. We've got the men's at 6:30. I think we've got 12 or 13 men in there. We've got the women's at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I think we've got 18 women in there. And then we've got men, women, and anyone at 6:30 Tuesday evening, and I think we've got close to 50 in there. And this is a study that costs you in itself, because it's a 45-week study. So it's some great stuff, but we based it off 2 Timothy 2:2. That's why we call them the 2:2s. And look what 2 Timothy 2:2 says. He says, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful people. Faithful men is how he uses it here, but the idea there is people who will be able to teach others also. Now, we all believe in this room that we have a responsibility to tell people about salvation. All of us would say that, even though we don't want to, even though it's scary, and even though sometimes opportunities come and we let them go, and then sometimes opportunities come and we tell them and we're really overjoyed at the fact that we got to share our faith, we all believe that that's part of our responsibility. But most of us have not been brought up with the fact that also part of our responsibility is to take the truths, the Bible truths, and the Word of God information, and the way that we live, to take that and pass that on to others as well. I mean, that's the whole thing. The Ephesians 4 passage, we're to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. So this passage tells Timothy, here's what you're to do. You're to take the things that Paul taught Timothy. He's then to teach these to other people who will be able to teach others. That's the way it works. The things that you know, the things that you've been taught, the things that you're studying and growing and putting all together, you're to take that and you're to invest your life in fellow believers, and you're to teach them and you're to help them understand it so they can do the same thing. Now, we think we're supposed to share our faith, but most of us say, well, I'm not supposed to be a teacher. I'm not supposed to be the guy meeting with somebody one-on-one or in a small group, or I'm not supposed to take one of those 4:12s and teach people. Yes, you are. The things you know, you're to pass on. Look what he says here. This is what we're to do. We're to prepare others so they can be disciples as well. He says, and the things which you've heard from me, the things of the biblical truths. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, just listen to this. You don't have to go back there. It's verse 13. He says, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me. Paul said, now Timothy, you better teach and hang on to the sound words. He's talking about the teaching of God's word, the truths. Listen, where do we go to find what's right? There's only one place that's really truth. John 17:17, the Word of God is truth. And we live in a world that doesn't have truth. They're always looking for things. They're always trying to find answers, and there's not any. We have the Word of God. This is the thing that you need to know and pass on to others. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, speak the things which are fitting sound doctrine. He says, you teach the truth. The sound teaching. That's what we're supposed to do. You have to be careful when you teach things other than the Word of God. I mean, let's say that you're with a group of people and you decide that you're going to go get a book at the Christian bookstore, and it's a little Bible study or something, or some book, and you decide that you're going to study that book. How do you know it's right? How do you know which chapters in those are right or wrong? One of the things you have to be careful is that if you're going to teach anything, you should teach the Word of God, because it's right. And you can use books, and you can even read these people's books, and you can look at them, but make sure that whatever you're going to bring out of this book matches what you can see from the Scripture. Because God didn't tell you to go teach people's books. He told you to teach people the Word of God. And if you say, well, I don't know anything, well, then study it. That's the key. We're supposed to know it to pass it on. That's the key. He says, the things that you've heard from me, the truth of God's word, which you've heard from me, which Paul taught him. You know, Timothy was under Paul. We're going to be talking about tonight in our study about relationships within the body of Christ. We're saying that everybody ought to have a Paul, everybody ought to have a Barnabas, and everybody ought to have a Timothy. A Paul is somebody who's discipling you. A Barnabas is somebody who's encouraging you. And a Timothy is somebody you're discipling. Well, Paul, of course, was Timothy's Paul. And he was saying, Timothy, take the things that I have taught you, that I have taught you, that I have given to you. Of course, Paul's an apostle. He's teaching the Word of God, of course. And he says, the things that I've taught you in the presence of many witnesses, this, here's what you do. You entrust this to others. The word entrust, the word literally meant early that it was like food. If you were here and somebody would bring and set food in front of you, That's what that word meant. It meant to deposit in front of. And the word used, you know, like, hey, thanks for the food. Well, it became the idea of giving someone truth, giving someone information, depositing information to someone. He says, you take the truth, things that I've taught in the presence of many witnesses, you entrust this, you give this to what? To faithful people. We talked about this a little bit last week, but faithful people, man, you've got to have faithful people. We call it FAT people, fat, available, and teachable. Are faithful, available, and teachable, fat people. What did I say? You can be fat if you want to. Get a donut, you know. But faithful, available, teachable, that's fat people. Okay, and you want to be fat there. And that's the idea. Faithful, available, teachable. Let me tell you, there's nothing greater than somebody who is there, who is available to be used, and is teachable. They're going to change the world. I mean, you want to change the world? You want God to use you in a way that is beyond you could ever imagine? Then you say, God, I want to be faithful. I want to be available, and I want to be teachable. I want to know this stuff. I want to live it out in my life. I want to take it and turn it and teach it to other people. I want to be used by Him. I want to take the gifts and talents You've given me, God, and I want to be used by You. That's what we want. Your life will never be the same when you do that. It'll be changed forever. There are some of you who have trusted Christ as your Savior. You've been a Christian maybe for some years, and you've never came to the point in your life where you said, I want my life to count for Christ. It's a scary thing. You were scared. You were scared you won't get to do the things you want to do. That's exactly what happened to me. I trusted Christ when I was 19. I did not become a disciple till I was 25 because I was afraid that I wouldn't get to do the things I wanted to do. And some of you are saying, but JB, if I don't want to be a religious nut. I don't want to all of a sudden be one of those fanatic guys. Well, we'll jump up and down and scream for football, but we won't jump up and down and scream for Jesus. Well, I'm not saying jump up and down and scream, but do you want to live for Him or not? What do we want to do with our lives? What do we want people to know us for? That we stand for Jesus Christ? He says, take the things that you've been taught in the presence of many witnesses. You entrust these to faithful people. Faithful, available, teachable. And then they'll be able to teach others also. See, what we're talking about here is that we've prepared ourselves and then we're going to help prepare others. Let me ask you something. What if a person came up to you and said, listen, you know, I know you go to church. In fact, you go to church a lot. And I'm just wondering, I've been a Christian for a couple of years, but I've never grown. And I think you probably are maybe a lot older in the Lord than I am. Would you mind meeting with me and teaching me? What would you say to that person if they said that? Well, I can't teach you. I don't know anything to teach you. How can I teach you? What you should say is, well, yeah, I'd be glad to get with you. What are you going to teach them? One of the reasons we developed that 4:12, we call it based on Ephesians 4:12, it's the foundational truths about what's the gospel and how to present it in security and how to study the scripture and the whole idea of being a disciple and how to get in the scripture for yourself and prayer and quiet times so that you can know that and you can even use that 4:12 stuff and you can get with somebody else and take them through it. And you can give them the foundational truths that they need so they can turn around and take somebody else through it. And I'm not just saying use only the 4:12. There's all kind of good stuff out there that you can use to help teach people God's Word and the truths from God's Word. He says, so that they will be able to teach others also. The word that they will be able literally means adequate or qualified. So you will be qualified. You want to be able to teach them so then they will be able to teach others. That's the plan. Now that's hard because you know what it's going to do? It's going to take you time. It's going to take your life. The time that you have that you might could just be resting, you're going to have to be preparing. You're going to have to be looking out for ways to meet people, talk with them, share with them, be there for them. Because if you start investing your life in them, they're going to call you. And they're going to have problems and the first person they're going to call is you. And you're going to have to be used by God to invest your life in their life. But when you stand before Jesus, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You gave your life to represent me, to serve me, to teach others about me so they could do the same thing. That's what we want. That's what we want to hear. if we're going to be disciples and make disciples, we're going to have to do it. And so, what do we see? To become a disciple, we offer our lives. We run that race with endurance, laying aside everything, keeping our focus on Christ. We study the Bible, digging it, knowing it, applying it, being examples as we prepare ourselves. And then we take the time to teach other people, to invest our lives in others so they can know it and be able to do the same thing. Let me stop for a second before we go on into a little bit of the challenge part here. Any questions, comments, anything? I know this is hard. Any input? Yeah.
A little twist on things. I know, okay. God wants us to teach, you know, mm-hmm. the Bible and be a disciple that way. Mm-hmm. But does God recognize being an encourager on the other things? It doesn't necessarily biblical, but when people are in times of trouble.
Well, that is a great point. She said, we realize that God does want us to teach the Bible, but what about the encouraging part? Not necessarily teaching somebody the Bible, but when they go through things, be there for them. That's exactly a part of this whole aspect of discipleship and investing your lives in others. Not only do you take and entrust to them these truths, but you're there for them. As we're going to talk about tonight, we all need a Paul, we all need a Barnabas, and we all need a Timothy. The Barnabas is that person that is encouraging you. I mean, it could be that person may be the same person who is teaching you and encouraging you, but there is no doubt that in this body of Christ, in this room, we're up and down and we're hurting, and there's good things and bad things and there's sad things, and we need each other. And so you're exactly right. With the gifts, the talents, the abilities you have, not only do you help people understand the Bible, but you are there for them, encouraging them. That is a great point. I'm glad you said that. What else? Anything else you want to talk about before we move to the challenge? As if this is not much of a challenge here, but it is. Is it pretty scary to think about? Is it scary to think about this? There are a lot of you in this room, I already know. I know you. I know your lives. You've already said to God, I want my life to count for Him. So you're saying, I've done this, JB. I'm living for Christ right now. My goal in life is to know your word, live it out, invest my life in other people, whatever way that is, teaching them, encouraging them, those kind of things. There are many of you in this room that are that way. But I want you to know there's some of you probably in this room who are like I was after I trusted Christ. I did not come to that position until I was 6 years old in the Lord. I trusted Christ when I was 19. I did not become a disciple until I was 25. But my life has never been the same. Well, let's think about this challenge. If you have a question, comment, anything, raise your hand, okay? We're going to move into the challenge part, and there's a lot of different things in this we want to talk about, and it's going to take us several weeks, but I want you to think about there's three things that stand out. As you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to study. I'm going to invest my life in people. I'm going to see people grow. I'm going to do all of this stuff. But there's three things I want you to think about as we go through this. Number one is don't lose heart. You're going to get tired. You're going to want to quit. That's number one. Number two is you've got to keep your focus on Jesus Christ. We've talked about that before, but you've got to do that. And then number three, you've got to abound. As we're going to find from 1 Corinthians 15:58, you've got to abound in the work of the Lord. The emphasis has got to be on the ministry. Those three things. We're going to spend some time. When we talk about not lose heart, this is where we're going to talk about some rewards. And we may not get that far this morning in that. And if you do have questions or comments, be sure and raise your hand. I know when the class gets larger, you know, in the summer we had more interaction. When you have, you know, 100 people or 90 or 105, it's easier than when you have 170. Easier for people to raise their hand. So if you want to raise your hand and make a statement, you sure can. But let's think about the not losing heart. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If we say, I realize what discipleship is. If we say that I want the characteristics of a disciple to be in my life, which is loving Christ and obeying the word and loving others and being faithful. And if we say I'm offered my life as a living sacrifice. I'm running that race with endurance and laying aside anything that slows me down and keeping my focus on Christ. And if we say that I'm going to do everything I can to prepare myself and prepare others, then when we start to do that and you begin to live daily for Jesus Christ, there are going to be times when you're investing your life in others that you're going to lose heart. Look what Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. He's saying, don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. We got to keep going. He's bringing together a summary about his ministry and the whole idea of living and serving for Jesus Christ and the ministry of believers. And he says, since we have this ministry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul calls the ministry that we have. Every one of you in this room have a particular ministry. We all got the same ministry. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. It's chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18, 19, and 20. But that's our ministry, the reconciliation. We tell people that God has reconciled man to himself, and our goal is, of course, to build them up and to help them to be able to do the same thing. He says, since we have this ministry and we've received mercy, don't lose heart. Now, the grace of God and the mercy of God allows you to live and serve Him. We sometimes say, I don't really want to serve Him. Hey, it's the grace of God you get to. It's the mercy of God. Because what we deserve is to be separated from God forever. That's what we deserve. What we deserve is because we've been in rebellion and that He saves us. What we deserve is, even after He saves us, which is what we don't deserve, but what we deserve then is to say, look, y'all just get out of my way. Since you were in open rebellion against me, and by my grace I just saved you. That's what we deserve. But what He gives to us is this. He says, I take one who was in darkness and I put him in light. And I take one who's in total rebellion against me and I put you as my child. And I take one who is living opposite of me and I empower you with myself living inside you. And then I give you particular gifts, talents, and abilities. And then I put you in opportunities so you can serve me. That's the mercy and the grace of God. That's incredible. Since we have this ministry, we don't lose heart. We get to tell people about Jesus Christ. We get to help people grow. God deals with us in grace and mercy. It is so easy to lose heart. If any of you in this room have been living for Christ and investing your life in people, you know what I'm talking about. There will be times that you will meet with people. You will pour your life into them. And they will turn around and walk away from you. There are times when you will study, you will put things together, and the whole thing just won't turn out like you thought it should. And there are going to be times that you'll say, I don't know if it's worth it. But remember, your Savior died for you. Your Savior rose again. Your Savior empowers you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He has given you the Word of God to live by. It's worth it. There are going to be times that you want to lose heart. There are three enemies of the Christian. Do you know what they are? What are they? Do you might know? The world? Satan? And your flesh. The world, the flesh, the devil. That's exactly right. Now, there are some people who put the emphasis on the wrong thing. They put the emphasis on the devil, and they think the devil's after them. Let me tell you, if the devil's after you, you're the most important person in the world. Because he can only be one place at one time. And if you believe the devil is after you, at that time, you're believing that you're probably the most important person in the world, or else why would this powerful being be after you? Now, he's got some demons. And if you're making an impact for Christ, there's going to be some influence. But let me tell you, the devil controls the world system, and the world system affects your what? Your flesh. That's the pull to do wrong. That's the natural bent that you have. Naturally, you want to do wrong. That's why we keep teaching, just take heed lest you think you stand, you fall, because you all have the natural bent. And when we live in a fallen world, controlled by a demon that is very powerful, that is a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, and that we have the flesh which is pulling us to do wrong, we're sometimes going to lose heart because it is a never-ending battle until the time our Savior comes. And it is constant. We made the decision to be like Christ. We made the decision to offer our lives. We made the decision to run the race with endurance looking unto Jesus. We made the decision that we were going to know about the Bible, apply the Bible, and teach it on. We made all those decisions. There's going to be time that you want to lose heart. I want you to turn over to Galatians. That's the next book, Galatians chapter 6. I want you to see one other thing. Look at verse 9, Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 9. This is powerful. He says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good." Wow. Why? "For in due time we shall" what? "Reap if we do not grow weary." Reap what? What are we going to get? What are you going to get? What? You can say it. What are you going to get? Rewards. Crowns. I've had people say, "Well, I'm not serving God for a reward." He told you to. He told you to run the race so you can get the prize. He said, "One day you're going to stand before me and you're either going to have gold, silver, and precious stone and rewards, or else you're going to have nothing." And what do you want to do? You want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, here's your rewards"? Or do you want to hear him say, "Well, you sure blew it"? 1 Corinthians 3 says it'll be tested by fire. Some things will be burned up. He said, "Come on in." Now, what do you want to hear him say? What do you want to hear him say? Oh, you want to hear him say, "Well done. Well done. Here are the rewards that I have for you." He says, "We will reap if we do not grow weary." I know the first bell is rung, and so we just got a couple of minutes, but I want you to think about something. There's going to come a time, and we're going to talk about what are the rewards that he's going to give us. We hear people say crowns because there are five different places in the New Testament in which Paul or James uses the term crown. And there are two kinds of crowns in the Bible. There's a crown called a diadem, that's a Greek word, which means like what the king wears. And then there's a crown called a stephanos. That's a Greek word, and it's the crown that you get for rewards. And if you were in like the Olympic Games or something and you run real fast and you won, and they'd come back and they'd put that little thing on top of your head, that was a stephanos. When the Bible talks about rewards for us, it is never diadem because he's the king. It is stephanos. It is these little crowns, whatever they are. And they're a picture of rewards. They're a picture of saying, "Well done, this is what you get for what you did." Now, there is a great truth. We don't do anything for salvation. We serve God for rewards. And if you say, "It doesn't matter how you live, because we're all going to heaven anyway," you're right about one thing. We're going to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ, but it does matter how you live, because when you stand before your Savior, and when you go into the kingdom, and when you go into the eternal state, you are going, what will we do for God forever? What will we do? What does the Bible tell us? Serve him forever, Revelation 22. You're going to serve him based on your what? Do you know what you're going to serve him based on? Your rewards. You want to serve him? You want to get to be close to him? Have him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What we're going to do next time is we're going to start into this reward things. And if you can be here, I know some of you are going to be gone for the holidays. But we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to be in Romans 14. You can look at those things. There's some powerful things there. Any questions, comments about any of this? Yes?
What about blessings now?
It's a great statement. That's a good question. What about blessings now? When the Bible talks about rewards, the best that we can understand when he's talking about crowns and rewards, that's future. But there is a place that Jesus talks to his disciples and they say things like, "What about us? We left everything." And he says there's going to come a time when you will be rewarded and you will be ruling with me. And then he said, and there'll be blessings then and blessings also now. Now, there are people who sometimes put the wrong emphasis and they say, if you serve God right now, your life will be great. There'll be blessings and you'll be rich and you'll be happy and you'll be this. And that's not what he's talking about, because the blessings are spiritual blessings. Sometimes they're material type things. You look in the Old Testament, Abraham obeyed God. God took care of him. When the nation of Israel obeyed God, God made them rich and best. But he never says to us, if you obey me now, I'm going to make you rich or you won't get sick. But he does say, I will bless you. And there are blessings now, and there will definitely be the blessings and rewards in the future. So if you know, there's the whole idea of the Proverbs that basically say, if you live righteously and godly, you'll be blessed. And if you don't, there'll be discipline. So it's according to how you want to live and what you want to do. That's a great question. Anything else? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks. Thanks for this group of believers. Lord, help us as we think about the rewards and living for you and making a difference for you. And Lord, we want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And help us now, Lord, to realize that how we live today will affect when we stand before you as our King, as our Savior, and as the one who will reward us. And Lord, we pray that we will hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.